Hey, what's up, family? In today's video, we're going to be getting very fundamental. We're going to be talking about the purpose of relationships. We're going to get down to some deep definitions to help us better understand what it means to be in a relationship. For those who are brand new or may not have heard, I have released my 11th book, The Purpose of Relationships. We also have a workbook, a coaching program, as well as card games. That goes in great detail about the interconnectedness of all of our relationships with our relationship with God, relationship with ourselves, relationship with our family, and relationship with others. So for the next few weeks or so, we're going to get very comfortable in and very abreast to the wisdom that God has imparted in this resource. So get ready. We're going to be talking about today, getting very fundamental about the purpose of relationship. So before we get into it, let's go ahead and define the problem. What is the problem that many people have when it comes to relationships? The problem is this: many people are bad at relationships because they don't fully understand their purpose. Many people are bad at relationships because they don't fully understand their purpose. My friend, it is very important for you and myself to understand the purpose of relationships. Relationships are not just about connecting with someone physically. It's not just about connecting with someone emotionally. Relationships is all about sustaining relatability, sustaining connection with the shared aim of glorifying God. That is the purpose. But unfortunately, a lot of people are completely unaware of the purpose of a relationship. So many people are bad at relationships because they don't fully understand their purpose. Now, let's take some time. We're getting very fundamental today, so walk with me, because the first of many videos and all these points come from my book. But the purpose, or let's define what purpose is. Purpose refers to the inherent reason or original design behind something's existence or creation. It encompasses the fundamental intention or goal behind the formation or development of a particular entity, concept, or person. The reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. So that is the definition of purpose. Let's break it down again. Purpose refers to the inherent reason or original design behind something's existence or creation. What that means is God has an original design and God has an original intent for everything he created. God has given us an inherent reason for being here. That's why I talk to people who have suicidal thoughts. I always tell them that your reason for living will always be greater than your reason for dying. So everything that God created has inherited in it an original intent and original design. So purpose refers to the inherent reason or original designs behind. That's why it's important to have something behind you. So when something is behind you, when you fall into it. Something behind you protects you. Something behind you ensures that you keep going forward. So that's why the purpose behind anything is the security of that thing. It's the reassurance of that thing. It's the hope of that thing. It's the purpose of the thing. So what's behind you? And some of the reason why many of us are not functioning at a high level in our purpose, because we don't know the purpose behind us. We don't know the purpose behind the things that we are engaged in. So when we understand behind and the purpose of a thing, then we'll check behind us through the corridors of our past and begin to look for the clues that gives us some level of understanding of why we are here, or the inherent reason or the original design behind what God has. See, God is the creator. And just like with any device, like this cell phone here, in order for me, if this phone gets broken, it's imperative for me that if this is an iPhone, it's not wise for me to go to Android. If my iPhone is broke or if my iPhone is not working correctly, it is not wise for me to go to Android or to go to Samsung or to go to a company that did not make this. Why? Because they may have similar technologies, but they don't have the original technologies. They don't have the original technicians. They don't have the original tactics by which to fix it. And so God has given us, when we find ourselves broken, when we find ourselves misunderstood or misunderstanding, we can go to the Creator, because the Creator has given us two things. He's given us a manual, and he's also given us him as his, as the manufacturer. So anytime we're confused about who we are or confused about what we're engaging in, we have to directly go to who created us. Or when it comes to relationships, we have to go to God and say, God, what is your original intent and your original designs when it comes to relationships? And so it says the original design behind something's existence or creation, as it encompasses the fundamental intention. Keyword, fundamental. In order for you to really be fruitful, you have to be fundamental. Many people, they want to, the fruits of relationships, they want the fruits of success, but they don't want to embrace the fundamentals of them. If we're not good fundamentally, if we're not fundamentally sound, then we won't be able to hear the sound of something that was meant to be for us. So we want to get flashy. We want to be fruitful. We want to flourish, but we don't understand the fundamental intention or the fundamental aspects of the things that we are engaged in. It says it encompasses the fundamental intention or goal behind the formation or development of a particular entity, concept, or individual. That is very key. It says purpose encompasses the fundamental intention. See, we want God's future intent of us, but we don't want God's fundamental intent of us. In order for us to have the future elements and to embrace the fruitfulness of a thing, we have to say, God, what is the fundamental intentions of me? What are the fundamental intentions of a relationship? What are the fundamental intentions? What did you intend for what I'm in? It says, or goal behind the formation. It reminds me of scripture in Romans 12, 2 that says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That verse is very key. Let me make sure I pull up so we can see it together. Romans 12, 2 ESV. Let's pull up together so that we can understand what this scripture is, so that we can be able to properly be in position in the things that God wants us to be in. So let me pull this scripture up real quickly. Here we go. So it says, Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. One thing that you're going to understand about scriptures is that scriptures have within them principles that if I pattern my life off the principles, I can garner the reward. If I allow my life to mirror the principle, then I can have the principles promised. How many people in this chat right now, by show of hands, you want all of God's promises? Go ahead and raise your hand if you want to engage. How many of you all truly want God's promises? And as everyone's raising a hand, you have to also reflect that if I want those promises, I must adhere to the principle. It says, do not. That is a command. God says, do not be conformed. Now, before we get into the word conform, there's a word that I like there that says be. Be is in front of conformed, and be is in front of transformed. Do not implies God is saying, I'm letting you know from my authority why you should not. That do not means do whatever it takes to make sure you don't. Have all the systems in place to ensure that you don't. Make sure that you have everything in place mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, financially, to ensure, or relationally, that you don't set yourself up for this. Do not be. Be is the key word in this whole scripture, because who you become determines what comes to you. So if you be conformed, then you're going to only see worldly things come your way in droves. So B, who are you becoming? Being refers to essence. That if you want to be a good husband, if you want to be a good wife, if you want to be a good entrepreneur, if you want to be a good worker, if you want to be no matter what it is that you want to be, you got to really define and understand who you're becoming. Because who you're becoming determines what comes your way. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So right now, each and every one of us, like the scripture saying, behind the formation or development of, each and every one of us are either progressing to one or two directions. Either you're going, either you're forming into the image of the world or you're forming into the image of Christ. Nobody is in the middle. Nobody is not moving. You're either conforming or you're transforming. So when you understand purpose, you understand that God has an original intent for your formation and for your development, because God has already created, or God has already established in of himself a form. Form means, or when you think about basketball, you think about sports, a form to a degree ensures a high probability of success. If I have my elbow tucked in and I have the and my window open and I'm executing the form, the shooting form of basketball, I have a higher probability for success. So if we have already formulated in our minds the original form for ourselves, the original form for relationship, the original form for a thing, then we set ourselves up to have a higher probability of success. But if I'm conforming to the form of the world, then it is impossible to have a successful relationship. It's impossible to have a successful life, because the world offers perversion. It says, do not be, develop into, grow into, adopt the philosophies of, conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see that in order for us to be successful, we have to intellectually understand with the desire and the disciplines to apply the things that are required for me to be successful. So now my mind has to be transformed and renewed to be able to understand the original intent, the original designs of whatever it is that I want to be a part of. Because if I transform my mind and my mind is set on the proper form of a thing, and then I begin to have the set beliefs, the set attitudes, the set disciplines, the set skills, then I can't help but become an asset that draws favor. Now, the principle is for us to make sure that we don't conform to this world, but that we instead fall into the system of being transformed through renewing the way we see, renewing the way we think about, renewing the way we engage with ourselves, relationships, and etc. So that, here's the promise, that you'll be equipped, that you'll be able, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. The reason why many of us have been in relationships that God never ordained, the reason why we have neglected relationships that God has ordained, relationships with himself, our relationship with him, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our families, is because we don't know how to discern or test the will of God. The Bible says the will of God is our sanctification. God's will is your development. God's will is your development into the image of his son. God's purpose, intent, or his will is for you to get better. It's for us to be sanctified into becoming more Christ-like, which then will make us adopt the characteristics that's transferable to all relationships, so that we'll be able to test that by testing. That we'll be able to test, hey, man, am I really giving my best to this? Am I really giving what God wants me to give to this? Am I able to test whether or not I'm relatable? Can I test to even see that if I should be in a relationship with this individual? Or should I be able to be in a place where I'm able to test, hey, where our relationship is drifting towards? How can we get it back on the rivers and in the ocean and heading to our accurate destination? Every day we should be in a place where we're testing and discerning. Am I allowing the sanctification of God to ensure that I become like him so that his likeness can be in my relationships, so his likeness can be in my singleness, so his likeness can be in my marriage? It says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. God, how do you want to sanctify me in this? Or God, what is the will of God for relationships? What is the will of God for manhood? What is the will of God for woman? So now you'll be able to say, I'm testing myself. That's why I tell people all the time, the one activity that people don't do but should do every day is to simply reflect. If you want to accurately project, simply reflect. If you want to project a husband, project a wife. And the reason why we get rejected because we're not projected. The reason why there's rejection is because we're not projecting. So a lot of people, because they're not becoming a husband, because they're not becoming a wife, or they're not becoming a greater or better husband or better wife or a better parent or a better entrepreneur, a better business owner, because they're not becoming better, they get mad when things reject them. Things reject when you're the opposite of what it was meant to project. Let me get my charger. So if you want to eliminate the rejection of God's blessings, the rejection of God's favor when it comes to promotional things or the rejection thing, you got to project the right things. If you don't want to be rejected by the right things, project the right things. That's why it's important to say, what is the will of God for manhood, womanhood, the will of God for sonship and daughtership, the will of God when it comes to everything, so that I'll be able to test myself every night. You will be able to test yourself every day to make sure you're going the right way. And then while you're in the midst of a thing, you will be able to discern the proper priority of it. You'll be able to discern, what is God's will for me right now in this moment? Maybe I need to put the game down. Maybe I need to put my computer down when it comes to spreadsheets and business and stuff. Maybe I'll be, so that puts us in a position to better flow. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. On one side, his sanctification of you, and the second side, his original intent of that thing that you engaged in. So that you'll be also be able to test and discern what is good. A lot of us, we look at something and it's not good for us. It's good to us, but it's not good for us. We get confused because something is good to us. She's good to you. He's good to you in only one dimension. She's good sexually. He's good sexually. He's good financially. She's good financially. But are they good holistically? Anything that's only good partially is no good for you at all. God is a God of wholeness. God is a God of holisticness, all the holistic, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. So this is where we got to go. The more that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds and image of God, we'll then begin to formulate the right thoughts, formulate the right actions, formulate the right attitudes, so that we'll be able to properly discern his will, what is good, what's acceptable, and what is perfect for us. So the scripture shows, provides a definition or a scriptural foundation to help us understand the process to purpose. It says, it encompasses the fundamental intention or goal behind the formation or development of a particular entity, concept, or individual. The definition of purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. You have a reason, relationships have a reason, and it's our purpose, it should be our pursuit to find it. So that's the definition of purpose. Now, I wrote this right here. It is important to know God's purpose for everything. It is important. It is urgent that we know God's original intent, original design for everything. Having the right perspectives on the purpose of a thing determines how we perform with it. Having the right perspectives, minds being renewed, being able to test and discern on the purpose of a thing determines how we perform with it. determines how we engage with it. If you as a single individual is not abreast to the purpose of a relationship, then you're not going to perform well. I tell people all the time, what you practice in your single life or how you practice in your single life will determine what and how you perform in your marriage. How you practice or what you practice in your marriage now will determine how you perform in your marriage later. All that is essential. Everything is connected. Everything is supported by each other. But when we neglect the intellect, we can't get mad when we don't have what we desire to have. Next point, it is going to be hard to perform well within the proximity of a thing if we don't know its or our purpose. So in order for us to really enjoy the proximity, the space of, the bandwidth of, the real estate of, in order for us to enjoy that, we must know our purpose. I tell people all the time about my testimony, how I met my wife. And I preach this as a fundamental truth. It was that the only way I was going to really be able to be in proximity of my wife was that I was in proximity of my purpose. Back before I met my wife, I started this Bible study called Unplugged. And we met every Thursday. And we went to different, every other year or so, we moved locations. And within that Bible study, I was functioning in my purpose. I knew who I was for that season. I knew who I was fundamentally. I knew that I was a wordsmith. I knew fundamentally that I was called to preach the gospel. I knew fundamentally that I was an entrepreneur. I knew fundamentally who I was at that juncture. Of course, the foundation was laid and I was able to expand on that and grow from that. But because I knew that, I began to go after it. I began to preach. I began to teach. I began to establish a location for that to happen. And then one day while I was preaching the word of God, I was within five minutes of my introduction that my wife walked in the door. Now imagine if I wasn't at that location, if I was not in my purpose, if I wasn't in what I was supposed to be in, would God order her steps within my proximity? That's why I tell men all the time, a woman is going to walk into your life when you know the reason for your life, when you're operating in the reason of your life, when you're executing at a high level in your purpose or reason for life. And ladies, God is not going to order your steps into the atmosphere and presence of your man of God, in the presence of your husband, if you don't know your purpose. Purposes ensures that people come together, because when your purpose and their purpose come together, y'all now have a family purpose. Families wasn't designed for you to do this and for you to do that, and there's no coming together for a combined purpose. That's why I believe that, that's why I believe that one of the major things that sustains relationships in the context of marriage is family businesses. I really believe that. The best conversations my wife and I have is about our family's business. Our family's business on behalf of the business of God. Listen, if you don't have a purpose, then you're not going to be able to discern and test to see who else have a purpose similar to you. And then y'all can't come together for nothing. I believe teamwork. And God has shared purpose. So a lot of people, give me one second, are unable to function at a high level because they don't have a family business. If you're not about your father's business, you won't have a family business. Wow. If we're not about our father's business, then how can you have a family business that keeps y'all together and then ensures that generational wealth is passed down? That's a video for another day. But if you don't know your purpose, you won't know your person. If you forget your purpose, and you forget the purpose of your marriage, the purpose of your family, you're going to lose each other. That's why it is important. Yes, sir, my brother. My brother, he says family business is key. Family business. I'm telling you, that's the secret sauce to relationships. And I'm going to do a video on that down the road, but that's the secret sauce. Oh, man, I ain't even halfway through. I got to keep going. It is going to be hard to perform well within the proximity of a thing or the purpose of a thing if we don't know it or our purpose. So you set yourself up as a single person to have a higher probability of success when you say, I know God's best for me, his purpose for me, his intentions for me, his sanctification of me. And the more that you're in that river, you'll begin to see purpose pieces come to you, because as your mind is being renewed, as you're being transformed, those things start formulating into a line, lining itself down the path to you. Let's keep going. Now let's define relationships, because this is the title of this, is the purpose of relationships, relationship 101. Also stick with me, because I have a worksheet for you to go through to help you discern your relationships, etc. Now let's define what relationships are. I have, so I'm almost done. Relationships by definition refers to the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. Second definition is the way in which two or more people or groups regard and behave towards each other. Also, in my book, that's why you see the boat. Let me make sure I show it to you. And a lot of people, I was talking to the kids in my school, they was like, man, what the boat for? And my family was like, what's the boat for? It's relationships. That's why I put a ship on the boat. That's why you should never board a ship with the individual you don't relate to. Relationship. That's why if you look at the word relate on ship or relationships, it's relate on ship. That you do not want to get on a ship with someone that you can't relate to. The whole purpose of my book is to the sustainment of relatability, being able to relate to a God-ordained relationships, whether with him, with yourself, with your family, with items and things, etc. But when you understand relationships, a lot of people are boarding ships with people they don't relate to. And I'll get to that a little bit. I'm going ahead of myself. Now, it says relationships refers to the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. Not everything should be connecting to you. That's why you must know you through and through to make sure you're not connected like glue to someone that ain't for you or to something that's not to you. How many of us are connected or was once connected or trying to connect or connecting to something that doesn't relate to our authentic self? One of the six pillars in my book that I talk about when it comes to relatability, because I have six pillars of relatability, is authenticity. The more you are your authentic self, the more the things for you comes off the shelf and God allows into your life. But a lot of us are relating through our fake self to someone else's fake self, and we don't have nothing relating and keeping us together. That's why relationships fall apart. There's nothing to relate to. There's nothing to sustain that connection. So it refers to the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. Connected. Do you know soul ties and how things are tied together? And it's dangerous to connect to something that you authentically were never designed to relate to. Boarding a ship of an individual who has a hole in their ship. And then you're not even 50 yards out into the ocean and y'all sink. You're not even 1 year into your marriage and you're sinking. You're not even 1 year into your relationship and you're sinking. And some of us, we won't even know we're sinking until it's too late, because some ships sink slowly. And we'll talk about relationship holes in another video. But God cares about the way we connect. And relationships is not just about with people. Some of the things that we are in relationship with, object-wise or hobby-wise, is damaging the human relationship. How many people have strong relationship with a sports team, strong relationships with commercialism, strong relationship with brands, strong relationship with influencers, strong relationships with their pastors? I talk to a lot of men right now. It's hard for them to wash their woman with the word because their woman want to be washed by their pastor. And it's hard for men to lead their households because the pastor has too much influence. Hold on. There we go. The pastor has too much influence on a woman, or a person's sports team has too much influence on the man. The comparisons on social media has too much influence. So some of us, we have relationships with objects and things that's keeping us from the main things. So God cares about how we connect, even with hobbies, how we connect. And God said, there's nothing wrong with having a favorite sports team. There's nothing wrong with you liking certain things in his life and connecting to it, brands, connecting to whatever. But it should not be the ultimate thing determining your worth. and your value. It's okay to have things, but not okay for those things to have us. It's okay to be connected to some degree to certain things, but we shouldn't be so deeply connected that we've becoming disconnected from things that we were designed to stay connected to. So it says, refers to the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. It says the way in which is key. God cares about the way in which we're connected. God has an original design for the connection. There's a way he wants husbands and wives to be connected. He has an order for connection. That's why this book is about the interconnectedness of the core relationships, the core four. And so what we talked about God, what we're talking about now is that God cares about the way we're connected, the way in which. God, that's why the way in which is important, because if we don't have the right in way which we should, then we'll be controlled by witch or witchcraft. How many of us, we put our, the order of our connections is out of order. So for instance, the proper order of a connection is with God, with self, for those who are married with their spouse, next, those who have children, and then everything else is based upon Holy Spirit's discretion for you. But the core four has to be the top four. God, you, spouse, children, then business, then ministry, then whatever else. So many people, they'll have their ministry number one, thinking it's God. That, okay, my ministry and God is number one. No. My business and myself is number two. So many people, they got God number one, but they got their wife number two and their children number three and their self number four. That's out of order too. Because if you're not good to yourself, you're not going to be good to them. So God cares about the way in which, the way we do it, the way we're glued to it. And we'll talk about that in another video as well. So for time, let's keep on. It says, or the state of being connected. The state meaning you're connected. I live in the state of the Ezzies. I ain't trying to marry again. I'm staying in this state. I ain't moving to another state. No. I'm staying in this state here. So my connection is the state in my connection. The state of my connection right now with my wife is marriage. The state of my connection with my daughter is father. The state of my connections. You see what I'm saying? And so when we understand the state of our connections, then we're going to make sure that our state is governed by, mayored by the Holy Spirit. Number two, the way in which two or more people or groups regard and behave towards each other. That's big. God cares about the way in which we regard and behave. So relationship, God cares about the way we regard, respect. That's why in my book, the second pillar of relatability in my book is respect. Respect towards God leads to self-respect. Self-respect leads to the giving of respect. That's why you have parents losing their children because they don't know how to respect their children. They just think a child stay in a child's place. Don't get it wrong. I understand that. But if you disrespect your child, you can't get mad when that child disrespects you in the way you feel disrespected. But it's because the respect is not funneling through in the proper order. Or a husband disrespecting his wife, wife disrespecting her husband. And I talk about that in the spousal connection part. But when I understand the reverence of God and the fear of God at the beginning of all wisdom, that verse is paramount. The fear of God is the beginning. Fear means reverence. Fear means respect. So the way I respect God determines the wisdom I walk in. Wisdom is skill. It's the application of knowledge. The more I apply it, the more I become wise. The more I apply the principles of, the wiser I get. So the more I apply the wisdom of God from the reverence of God, the more I will be considered wise. Or my marriage will be filled with wisdom. My parenting will be filled with wisdom. My preaching will be filled with wisdom because it's directly correlated to my level of reverence towards God. That's another video, but I'm going. This is the foundation, so I understand. I got to go through this. So if I want to have better regard and better respect towards my relationships, I have to reverence God, because then God would teach me how to revere myself. Because the reason why many of us are being disrespected in relationships or are disrespectful in relationships, because we don't respect ourselves and we don't respect God. So God cares about the way we regard, because the way we regard determines how we guard. The more I respect God, it makes me become the type of man that can guard my wife, that can guard my daughter, that can guard my family, that can guard my properties, that can guard my business, that can guard my mind, that can guard my space. If I don't have accurate, if you don't have accurate regard towards God and understand that, then you won't be able to guard and protect. There's a lot that comes with relationships as we're learning on this evening. Also, behave. Your level of respect will determine your level of behavior. There's a way that God wants us to respect whatever we're in relationship with and how we're supposed to behave in those relationships. That's the definition of relationship. Now, let's talk about relate. We talked about relationship is relate on ship. That is not wise to board a ship with someone that we don't relate to. Give me one second. The better I relate with God, the better I relate with myself, the better I'll relate with whoever else. The better you relate to God, and the better you relate to yourself, you will be able to accurately and properly, biblically and divinely relate before it's too late. So many people, they wait till it's too late to relate. When you wait to relate and it's too late to relate, people in your life will leave out the gates. How many people right now under the sound of my voice, you're losing your daughter as we speak. You're losing your son as we speak. You're losing your marriage as we speak. And even though your business is at its peak, you're losing your family as we speak. So you got it, and you have to go in there and tweak. You got to go in there and take a peek. You got to peek into your relationship and be like, yo, we good? You got to peek in on your daughter and son and be like, are we good? I got to take a look at my relationships. And so many of us, we are so caught up on the peaks of entrepreneurship, the peaks of creativity, the peaks of success, that we're not taking the time to peek in to make sure that we're good in our relationships. Because when you peek in, you can tweak it before it's weakened. And then all of a sudden, you'll be losing it. Right now, most people, because they don't know how to regard, that leads them to properly guard, they're losing their families. They're walking off the yard. That's why it's important to say, hey, man, your business success has nothing to do with that core four relationship. Your business, even though it provides, even though your entrepreneurial endeavors provide, even though you're pursuing career heights, it cannot be the dominant reason by which you pursue success, because God's version of success is not one dimensional. And yes, and it's crazy how many people are more skilled in business than they are skilled in relationships. So they have all the skills to take a business to the next level, but they can't take their families to the next level. That's why I created the Fulfillment Elite program, because I'm a coaching program. I want to teach men and women and families to how to go to the next level holistically. But if you don't peek in and then make the tweaks in, then you're going to be losing them as we speak it. That's why it's important to say, hey, man, I'm just not going to get married so I can have a trophy on my arm. I'm not just going to get married so I can be provided for. I'm getting married. I'm getting a relationship with whatever it is for a reason, that I have to pray. I have to spend time with God. You have to pray. You have to spend, because that relationship with God is foundational. If you want to be fruitful in all the relationships, you got to be foundational. I'm in and out of a lot of topics, but this is the relationship one-on-one. And we'll talk about all those things the next year or so and within the next year or two. So definition relate is to give an account of, to show or establish logical and holistic connection. That's relate. To give an account of. To give an account means I'm relating a message. I'm giving you account of. I have to be accountable or accounted for in order to give an account of. If you and I are not held accountable, then we are not going to be able to really be able to relate, to give an account. Like, you can you really accurately relate that, relay the message of marriage, relay the message of singleness, relay the message of parenting? Can you relay the message of why your relationship with God? Can you relay the message to a non-believer, the hope that's in you? Can you relate it? Can you give an account of your relationship with God? Can you give an account of a history of self-care and self-love? Can you give an account of that your marriage is founded on biblical truths and is thriving and growing in house? Can you relate? Can you give a true, accurate account that your children reverence the Lord? Yo, I counsel kids, fam. You know how many kids come to me and they show me a different depiction of what their parents depict when they're in church? And I'm like, you're relating to the church more than you're related to your children. You're relating to your desperate need for external validation within an institution more than you are about the children in your life. Can you give an account, an accurate account that you are relating? Right now in your relationships, can you accurately give a thorough account that, yo, I can relate this? I can relate this message, the true purpose of God's purpose for a thing. Relate also means to show or establish logical and holistic connection between. You notice that that definition says logical, not emotional. People think that the bulk of relating, that the bulk of relationship is emotionally, the emotional aspect of a relationship is only a few percentage emotions. Because there's plenty of times in my marriage, I didn't like my wife. I didn't like her. I don't like her all the time. But love is logical. If I was emotionally married, then I would be emotionally drifting. But because I understand logically why we relate, it keeps me on the ship. So now I don't jump ship anytime that we dip in arguments and frustrations, because I know, hey, love is logical. Love is not emotional. Do you have a logical reason why you are relating to this person? Do you have a logical reason by which you are connected? If you can't give me three solid reasons of why you are logically with this person, can you tell me, number one, God put you together, and give me five moments, five ways by which God confirmed this union? When I counsel couples and stuff, I ask them, can you give me evidences, one to five evidences that is non-emotional, where you had a deep spiritual connection, confirmation from God that this person is it? If we don't even know the basics of discernment, how we can better understand if God confirmed it? The second logical reason I ask a person is, do you know your purpose? Give me about 5-minute explanation of your purpose in this world. Then I ask them, tell me the purpose of that person. Then tell me, how do those purposes combine? How could you start a family business with this? How could you create generational wealth with this? If this man is called to the nations and you're called to the city, my friend, I ain't gonna balance well. If this man is called to travel, but you deep down inside feel called to a local place, or if this person is called to do something that's secular and worldly and carnal, but you want to follow God, and they're showing you the red flags, they're showing you the GMO'd fruit in their life. So when you understand that, you would be like, yo, okay, now I see that we related compatibility, but we don't relate when it comes to the counterpart. There's a lot of people you're compatible with. Doesn't mean you get in a paddle boat with. That was for you, Pastor Seuss. That was for you. Appreciate it. I might take that. Pastor Seuss, like Dr. Seuss. We rhyming tonight. You AW caught it. You caught it, didn't you? You caught it. You caught it. The GMO fruit, right? So God wants us to see, dude, can you logically tell me why you should still be in this? It may have been logical carnally. We're talking about logically spiritually. Because it might make sense. The world says you should shack up. People tell me often throughout my 20-some years doing this thing, well, I think, Josh, it may be smart for us to stay together to see if we'll stay together. I said, my friend, do you know that it's easier to be a roommate than it is to be in a relationship in the context of marriage? Oh, it's easy to be a roommate until the standards of marriage creep in. That's why people can live together for 6 years, but can't be married for three. Because now you have accountability. Now all those people you brought to the, and now everybody you brought to the church to watch your union, and all of a sudden now you are held accountable. Everybody's watching. Now all of a sudden you can't handle the weight of marriage. People don't break marriage. Marriage breaks people because it's too heavy. And you're not built with the cemented ingredients to be able to hold it for a long period of time. So you got to be able to say, do I connect spiritually first? Man, that's another video. But second is to show or establish. You got to show that you like. People should be able to read your marriage, read your relationships, and be like, oh, that works. Yeah. They should be able to read that you're a good parent. When they read your children, they should be able to read, oh, that's a good parent. When they read your wife, that's why the first thing I do when I go, when I travel and speak at churches, when I travel or I'm in a church or whatever, I watch the countenance of the wife. The wife tells me everything about the husband. That's why I focus so much on my wife, because a wife don't fake. A wife can't fake. So when people watch me at the basketball games and my wife laying on my shoulder and my wife wants to hold my hand when we're walking out, when they see that, they go, oh, that's a good husband. I care about how people read my wife, because them reading my wife is reading if I'm even relating to her. Well, this is good. Now I gotta go. Okay. So to show or establish, that's enough for today. I'll answer a couple of questions, and then we'll go into part two, Lord willing, tomorrow, depending on what he wants me to talk about. But this video was designed for us to better understand relationships and being able to connect with them at a high level. So this is just the first video of many, so I don't even have to rush it, really. So let me show you the worksheet that is available on my website for free at mycoachjosh.com/worksheet. And I'm gonna go ahead and post that in a link now, in the chat now, so you guys can get right to it. My goal is to provide you with free assessments, free worksheets that will help you grow, to apply the word. I want you to apply it, right? Because when we apply it, man, how often is this series Bible study? As often as the Lord leads, I probably do 3 to 4 for sure a week, sometimes 5 or 6 a week, depending on, because I'm a husband and a father, and so it's based upon my family needs first, but make sure you hit the bell so you'll know every time I go, right? But also check out my resources, and I'm going to talk about those a little bit later, but stay with me. I'm going to show you this worksheet real quick. Let me post this link so you guys and gals can get it, so you'll be able to apply it immediately. Simple reflection here that I'm going to give you. And it is, hold on. Here we go. Worksheet, relationship assessment. Evaluate and reflect on your relationships with the relationship assessment worksheet. List different types of relationships, rate their quality on a scale of 1 to 10, and consider areas for improvement. Through self-reflection and goal-setting prompts, this worksheet helps you prioritize meaningful connections and enhance the quality of relationships. So I gave you a simple list, and you can list them differently. So I gave you also paper to be able to do that on here. But you'll go in, and I gave you a list of the basic things that you can use or put names beside or put names up under, and then begin to rate them 1 to 10. 1 being poor relationship, 10 means proper relationship at a high level. And here's some reflection questions I just want you to think on and consider. Consider each relationship and reflect on whether it adds value to your life and well-being. Does it add value? And also, do you add value to it? For relationships with lower scores, reflect on why they received that rating and whether they are worth investing time and energy into. 3, identify areas for improvement in each relationship. Think about how you can enhance communication, trust, understanding, and support. Next, consider whether boundaries need to be established or adjusted in certain relationships to maintain a healthy balance. Reflect on ways to prioritize and nurture relationships that are most important to you, and set actionable goals for improving the quality of your relationships and commit to taking steps towards achieving them. Simple worksheet, but it's going to reveal you so that you can heal you, or that God can heal you, right? And so also I have another resource. And so I'll go ahead and pull up. You can go ahead and here's the 4 resource pack. Here's a resource pack, resource drop, as the kids may say. The book, The Purpose Relationship, is where I'm going to be teaching from, and my book, Multipurpose, this book right here. I'm going to be teaching from these 2 books because purpose is important and God cares about us functioning at a high level in those purposes. Also, there's a workbook with probably over 100 worksheets and questions, probably 500 questions or so for each relationship. And we'll talk more about that. Also, that phone right there, we also have, I'm going to show it to you right now. We also have, a coaching program for those who really need that extra support, who says, "Coach, I'm serious. I need to take my relationship to a next level, and I want to grow in it." So LifeWork is my educational company, my wife and I's company. My wife has been released by God to help me with this. So my wife will be in here coaching as well in my relationship mastery program. So we have solo, we have communities where you can be able to join. If you want to work on your singleness or work on your relationships, you can do that there. So it's Thriving Solo and Thriving Together. Also, we got Mindset Mastery, but Relationship Mastery is where we're going to go. And so you can scroll down here and click Relationship Mastery. And then it's a 6-month program that you can also apply to be a part of. It's going to be your fastest track towards ensuring that your relationships are optimized and that you sustain relatability in them. And so check it out. We're going to be working intensively for 6 months to save, secure, and stabilize and sustain your relationships. So you see the program objectives, all that good stuff, the testimonials from people that I've helped relationship-wise, and also the application for that program as well. Also, for those who are high-level entrepreneurs, executives, business owners, and you really want to work on your holy sense, I'm creating this is our mentoring program. It's what you call, you probably heard, Inner Circle, where you're able to get elite mentoring, elite resources, not just the pieces, but the payoff. The payoff is you'll become a better husband, a better wife, a better family, have a stronger family, but you'll also have a better business. And we're going to teach how relationships helps with business. Because I tell a lot of business owner entrepreneurs, and they've been wanting me to do this, is that the level of your relationship determines the level of your success in your business. The Bible says that God will not hear the prayers of a man who is not doing right by his wife. So yeah, you can be successful in business when it comes to the worldly standard, but we're talking about favor of God. We're talking about protection of God. Yo, my friend, you need to understand this. You need to get into this. And so I'm looking for 15 to 20 men or women, single or married, the single people will install into your life the principles to ensure that when you are with your person, your family is locked in to your ambitions, that you can have it all. You can have multi-million-dollar business and you have a multi, a high level, successful marriage, successful family. So check out Fulfillment Elite for that as well. So that's all of that. All those resources are available to you on my website, mycoachjosh.com. And listen, if you're not able to do the coaching programs right now to invest at that level, then check out the communities. You can be invested or you can be invested by investing in yourself simply with $27 with the lowest community access point and thriving solo and thriving together. So let's get to a couple of questions. Then I'm going to get out your way. Chris says, hey, coach, congrats on your new book. Thank you, my sister. I appreciate you. Question research says, hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This topic is right on time. I'm so glad, Nicole. Hope you got something out of it. Nubian's been taking notes. They got friends in the chat. Everybody saying hey to you. That's nice. Joey Davis says, what up, Coach Josh? It's JoJo at Fort Worth. How to stop falling for situationships and toxic women? Great question, family. How to stop falling for, first off, family, you got to have better grip on your shoes. Because before you fall, there's a slip. You have to be grounded. You have to be grounded in your things in God. You have to be grounded in the things of yourself. You have to be grounded in the things of purpose to ensure that you don't slip and fall. That's why I don't believe in falling in love, because whatever you fall into, you get hurt with or hurt by. So the reason why you're falling into situationships because you don't understand the right situations, discerning situations, being able to test situations, to put yourself in better situations to ensure that you're surrounded with the right skills for the situations you want to be in forever. So how to stop practically of falling into situationships? Number one, you got to begin to assure yourself about who you are in Christ. Sure yourself, because the reason why you're falling into these different things, because you're not sure somewhere with between you and God, you're not sure somewhere between you and yourself. So you're looking for hope and love from a woman. And when God is not in his rightful place and you're not in your rightful place, then you'll be looking for someone to fall into that vacuum in your heart that they cannot sustain, that they cannot patch up. So you must find certainty and sureness in God's will for you, God's love for you, so that you will be able to say, hey, this is not the time for this. This is not the time for investing in this situation, because listen, the past gives you clues to the future. And if you don't learn from the past, then you won't be able to pass into what God wants to pass to you. So number one, in order to stop falling for situationships and toxic women, you got to find your sureness and your stability in God. So that means you got to shod your shoes. You got to have better grip. In order to stop falling in situations, you have to have better shoes. Shoes. You got to say, okay, am I, for instance, it's not wise to play basketball in bowling shoes. It's not wise to play football in basketball shoes. You may be able to get somewhere, but you ain't going to get all the way that you need to. Next, number two, in order how to stop falling into situationships, you have to take time to develop. You got to fully take time and focus on developing you. What are the areas and the things in your life that you need to work on for you? So what you got to do, you got to assess, hey, what can I learn from these relationships? Because in order for you to earn, you have to learn. If you don't learn, you will burn emotionally. You will burn with regret. You will burn with insecurity. You will burn with inadequacy. You will burn with unworthiness. You will burn from rejection. You will burn from resentment. So you have to take time, so that nobody else takes your time. You got to take the time to say, you know what? I'm going to work on me. Thirdly, you got to get better at observing situations. See, I'm spelling stop. Number one, you got to find your security in Christ. Number two, you got to take time to develop. Number three, you got to be a better observer of situations. So that means you got to say, okay, I got to practice reflection every night. I got to practice being at ease and still and observing women and observing flags. Because when you spend time with God and you spend time with yourself, you become a better observer. So, friends, the reason why you're in situationships is because you haven't taken the time to observe your own flags. See, if you got red flags, don't wave people into your life, because red flags bring in people with red flags. You attract what you are. If she's toxic, then my friend, you're toxic, respectfully, in love. Because if you're waving red flags and you're waving toxic flags, then you're going to attract toxic and red flags. Some of us, we got to wave the white flag of surrender. That's what we got to wave to the heavens. God, I surrender. Then you can put the white flag down, and God, through his blood, can then make your red flags pure. And last but not least, man, you just got to begin to develop the right perspectives. The right perspectives about purpose, the right perspectives about you, the right perspectives. Because when you have the right perspectives, that stems from accurate observations, that stems from taking time with yourself, that stems from your security in Christ, then my friend, you'll be unstoppable and you won't find yourself in situationships or toxic women. Hope they help. Nubian Soul Child says, why is it that most celebrities and singers thank God for their achievements at award shows despite living a lifestyle that goes against God? They even wear crosses and put God first in their bios, and yet they take inappropriate pictures. I'm so confused, because they still get blessed with their actions, yet people who truly are followers of God don't have the money and success like them. Great question, my friend. They are telling you that their God ain't your God. Most celebrities and singers thank God for their achievement. They're thanking the devil. The devil is their God. And the reason why they wear crosses and all that different stuff is because they're trying to subconsciously make you feel that they are in connection with your God, but they're really a blaspheming God. Because why would you wear what represents me when I don't represent you fully, or when you don't allow me to be in you fully? Despite living a lifestyle that goes against God, their lifestyle does not go against their God, Satan. Jesus told the Pharisees, hear me when he said this, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus wasn't saying that because he was upset. Jesus wasn't saying that because it got up under his skin. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said that because they were of their father, the devil. That's why most pastors today are of their father, the devil. The Bible talks about in the last days, there will be great false prophets. The most famous, the most well-known to a degree pastors out there are probably Pharisaical, or they're deep in perversion, and they're of their father, the devil. So Jesus wasn't saying, hey, these people are their father, the devil, and just metaphorically said, no, he says, I know your father. I saw your father fall down like lightning, and you're of your father, the devil. And so these individuals are fathered by the devil. Therefore, they're giving their God all the praise and honor and glory. So this will then help you with your second part. Yet they take inappropriate pictures. I'm confused. Don't be confused. Accurately discern. Their God blesses them. See, the devil blesses off of charisma. God blesses off of character. So the true followers of God, if you're trying to follow God, or you're trying to be a follower of God immersed in the world's culture, you're going to be frustrated because you're not blessed. But when you're following God and you have the right perspective of God, you already know that you're blessed. See, you have to be blessed before you're blessed. See, you got to know that you lack nothing in order for you to have something. And you do not want to covet how they got money or how they got success, because, my friend, you may have to take off your dress. You fellas may have to bend over. There's some things you might have to do to get what they have. And it's slower for the believer, because God is trying to cultivate character, cultivate maturity to be able to steward and manage the money and success. Hope to help. That's right. Deception. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. I gotta go, y'all. My wife gives me liberty to go a little bit longer, because she knows that we're working together to get you guys supported in your relationships and your businesses. so that you guys can even start creating family business and understand what it means to own and succeed and to put things in the right order. So this movement that my wife and I started about relatability and relating, it's going to be significant, and we look forward to serving you all for sure. The Holy Spirit told me to go. I got to go, y'all. Yeah, I got to go. I feel that tap out. So I pray that this video was a blessing to you. Hope you get something out of it. Hope that it encouraged you, strengthened you, and I look forward to serving you through these resources. However the Lord wants me to do through the books, The Purpose of Relationship and Multi-Purpose. And so check out the books, check out the card games, check out the resources, check all of that on my website, mycoachjosh.com. If any of one of these things resonate with you and you're like, hey, coach, I'm ready, then I'll be ready to talk to you soon, either this week or next week, to get you into the programs or see how I can help you. I love you all. Y'all be blessed. I'll catch y'all next. God told me to pray for you. Father, we thank you so much for these individuals watching me right now, but watching what you're doing through me. I pray, Father God, they'll find their relationship with you. That God, they'll begin to understand, yo, I need to get that right so everything can be aligned right. So I pray for all those who are struggling with failure of relationships, struggling with the complexities of it and the resentment that occurs and the unforgiveness involved and the wounds involved. I speak the peace of God into you. I speak the hope of God in you, that you'll be able to understand that you can, no matter what happened, as you renew your mind throughout these series of videos, that you'll be able to stand as if you've never, that you'll be able to relate better with your children, relate better with your spouse, relate better with yourself, relate better with God, relate better with those hobbies and devices and things that you enjoy, and that you'll better relate to the people that you're called to influence in business and entrepreneurship and your creative endeavors. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Right now, through the authority that's been given to me, I come against every demonic spirit that's coming against these individuals. I also counsel every plot or scheme that's retaliating against my wife and family as we speak. I counsel every weapon that's formed against everything that may try to retaliate off of the nuclear bomb that I dropped in the devil's kingdom. And also I come against every demonic spirit that's warring against these individuals' minds as we speak, as if speaking to them, letting them know that this is not for you. This is for you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for this prayer that it will be sealed in them, that the anointing will break the yokes off of them. And we thank you, Lord, for it. And in your name we do pray. Amen. Love you all. Catch y'all next time. Peace.